Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Back to Better Book Club with Liz Fidler-Mergen. Thank you for being here. We are following up part two of our book, Joyful, and I have got my high school friend Jade here with me that actually recommended this book to me. So Jade, can you say hello?
Good morning, everyone. I guess I shouldn't say good morning. You could listen to this at any point in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello.
That's the thing. Yeah. So we're recording this on November 5th. It's going to come out next week because these episodes come out every other Friday. Reminder, if you have not read the book yet, click on the episode notes. That'll give you the monthly books, the overview. The book club is completely free, but this month's book is called Joyful. And last week I released an episode with podcast producer Abby. We always do one episode of her and I together. It was going to be solo episodes, but they became very lectury. And I just felt like I was preaching about like the importance of the book, and whatever. And then we always have a second person come on. And sometimes it's the author. Sometimes it's someone who recommended the book with me. And yeah, this month we have Jade because she told me to read the book. So I thought who better to come on and share her insights.
Awesome. It's super fun to be here. I am currently on maternity leave with my third baby, Talvi. So this has been kind of fun for me to revisit the book. I've loved Ingrid for so long. I watched her speak at a conference in 2016. And so I've been a big fan of hers and her work for, you know, I don't even know how many years that is now. And so it's been fun for me to revisit the book and reread it on my maternity leave. And so I'm really excited to share this more and more joy with everyone who's listening.
It's fun to me when I hear of other like book nerds and self-help book nerds of how well you get to know an author. Like some of these, and I was so excited to be introduced to her, but there's probably like five or six authors that will be coming up in the book club that I'm like, I've been following them for 10 years or, you know,
like
I first heard about them and it's like, yeah. So you and Ingrid, huh?
Yeah, exactly. A funny story. I met her in Bismarck, North Dakota, of all places. I was a breakout speaker at a ODA conference. My dear friend, Hugh Weber, who had put on conferences through ODA, which was through the Bush Foundation, a wonderful conference kind of series that was really to strengthen communities throughout Minnesota, South Dakota, and North Dakota. And so Ingrid was the keynote. And so at that time, her book wasn't even finished. It hadn't been published yet, but she was, you know, very much within writing it and kind of doing all the research at that time. And so I remember her sharing her story about, you know, how her professors were like, I don't know why, but your work just gives me this feeling of joy. And I was just so drawn to her and so drawn to the idea of like, you can study joy. That's the most incredible career I've ever heard.
Yeah. So the surprising power of ordinary things to create extraordinary happiness. And I would say, so you and I were both speaking at a conference in May. That's how that's not even remotely how we met or rekindled. Like we go back a long way, but we were we both were speakers at a conference in Marshall, Minnesota, and you had recommended that book. And I literally downloaded it on the way home because I had a 2.5 hour drive on the way home. So I was like, well, I guess, you know, and I think I put it at like 1.5 speed and I was already halfway done with it by the time I got home that afternoon. Like you probably weren't even finished speaking, but it was the week before Mother's Day. So I had to get home and like keep working on flowers. So I couldn't stay for the whole conference, but I stayed like, you know, through noon or whatever. It opened my eyes so much this entire summer. And I'm so glad that I read it in May. And then throughout the whole summer, I started really noticing these like pops of color and realizing what re-energizes me and what makes me happy. And I spent actually, so now I've like started incorporating some pops of color in my very beige house because that's what you do, right? Like you keep it neutral because it's hard to like change out those things. But now like hanging pictures or, you know, just little things that like, just realizing what makes me happy. Like I literally drink water out of my daughter's unicorn cup now because they're at daycare or school, but I'm at home working and I'm like, oh, but if I drink water out of their unicorn cup, like
I can think of them.
So connected to them. And they laugh every time. They're like, Mom, why don't you have, you know, why don't you drink one of your glasses? And I'm like, no, I don't know. I like your unicorn cup.
Yeah. I love that. It's so funny. Yeah. I think so many of us have the beige homes or like the neutral homes because that's the aesthetic that the internet told you that you should have. And I think so much of this book is just reminding yourself to go off of autopilot sometimes. And that's really my biggest takeaway from this book and just from Ingrid's work overall is like, turn yourself off of autopilot and remember, go inward every once in a while to think, what do I like? What colors do I like? You've talked about how much you love pink, so I wore pink for you today.
Oh, thank you.
But I think it's just like remembering that your homes, your wardrobe, you know, everything about you, it's not for public opinion. It's not for how many likes you're getting online. It's literally what you like. And that's the whole point of the book is kind of finding little ways to add these little pops of joy, these little things that turn you off of autopilot and make you think of your daughters or make you think of something else, make you remember a trip that you took once upon a time. And so as humans, we're not supposed to be like so productive, so efficient that we like lose all of humanity and we lose all of connection. And unfortunately, that's kind of how people are operating right now. Mm-hmm. And so this huge push right now for trying to bring some character, some joy back into our days.
Well, and I think one of the things that she starts out talking about in the book is joy versus happiness. Mm-hmm. And the distinction between them. So happiness is like this deep ongoing pursuit, right? The pursuit of happiness. Like that is one of our, you know, what is that? We are endowed by our creator, certain unalienable.
I have no idea. Right.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What is that? Preamble to the Constitution, right? Like the pursuit of happiness? Now we got to look it up. Yes. We the people, Yep. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yes. So that is literally the pursuit of happiness. However, like I think it have it wrong because it's not something you pursue. It's something you have, but how do you get that? And that's joy. So happiness is a very deep found, like your state of being, you know, how things are, whatever, but joy can be fleeting. It can be small, but it's just intentional shifts from our environment. And if we bring all of these tiny little moments of joy into our happiness, it just shifts the mood in our home, in our workspace, whatever it might be. Like my assistant Tina, she works out of my house Monday, Wednesday, Friday right now until we get our flower shop new building built and done. So literally I have someone in my home with me a couple of days. I have the downstairs office. She has the upstairs office and she, you know, manages the podcast and part of the farm and like so many little things. And she asked me like after a couple of weeks of coming, she's like, can I wear slippers here? I'm like, you can wear slippers. And she was a teacher for 28 years and she left teaching. She's like, I have 10 more years or so to work, but like, she just wanted a different career change. And so she's working for me. And she's like, I can wear slippers to work. I'm like, I don't care what you wear. Like maybe you have like a shop and you know, people are there, but even then like, oh, you want to wear slippers? Like if that, and you know, so those little pieces just, I don't know.
It makes a huge difference. And truly, so when I think of the definition, like, it's funny because we always say, like, for our kids, I just want them to be happy. I want happiness for them. But if you're never, like, showcasing and showing them the little pops of joy, you're never really going to reach happiness. Because really, think of joy as, like, a pop or a delight in the present moment. So it's something that takes you off that autopilot. It brings you to right now. And then a pop of joy often leads you to play, right? So, like, the other day I was in the kitchen and I was cooking and my son Knox, who's 3, was like, Mom, the floor is lava. That's like a pop of joy that he would randomly say that. And then
we were playing that last night.
So my brain naturally went to like, oh my gosh, the floor is hot. I ran and jumped over the couch and like spun. I tipped over a bunch of things, broke a bunch of toys. It was not my most graceful moment, but it was so funny. And like that little pop of joy led me to play with him, which led us to fun and laughter and like, oh my gosh, Mom just broke all these toys. And like, I would have never got to being the fun mom, the fun person that I am, if there wasn't that spark of joy. So think of joy leading to play, leading to fun. And if your life is full of fun, often that leads you to happiness. And people generally think like, oh, fun is like, you know, something, you know, you can have fun after the work is done. You can play after your homework is done. Like we're taught these things growing up. And as a working mom, like the work's never done. The to-do list is never done. So we never get to the point where we're like, yeah, I deserve joy. I deserve play, fun, which leads you to ongoing happiness. So I do think it's it's silly when we say like, I just want that person to be happy, when we really need to think about the smallest unit, which is joy, which will ultimately lead them to that happiness.
Exactly. I mean, that's like, you know, goal setting 101 or whatever it might be when you're looking at creating this big picture, like I want to lose 20 pounds or whatever it might be. Like, okay, well, that's movement, that's diet, that's it. Like all these little building blocks that make this. So how do you get to happiness? And it's like, well, you know, once I have this job or this career or this thing, and it's like, that's not what does it. It's do you enjoy those bits of your job? Do you enjoy those bits of your career? Do you enjoy, you know, it's, and I think also the root word, enjoy, joy, like it just, I don't know, overall happiness.
The root, I thought this was so funny in her book, that the root of gaudy has roots, like Latin roots, and it actually means to rejoice and delight. So like, yes, when you feel like your house is gaudy or your outfit is gaudy, like you're actually on the right path, like go you.
So and that's, you know, also it really made me, I mean, I don't know if you listened to the episode with Abby and I, but I shared, you know, Vidalia, who's in first grade. And I mean, she said it from day one. You know, she's like, Mom, this is so boring. Like she, you know, if we go into a store, that's the word she uses. And like, that is the most insulting word in her vocabulary. Is that this is boring. And like,
I'm here for her.
Yeah. And she's like, this is boring. I can't do it. Like And so, yeah, it's just funny to hear, you know, the brightness and, you know, why squish that? And if that's what's going to bring joy, and I get that there's a time and place for, you know, certain aesthetics, but at the same time,
Yeah. I think it's interesting. They said, she also was talking about how our flat floors and our dull walls, they make us have like this sense hunger. Mm-hmm. I think sense hunger is so interesting. There's another great book. I think it's just called The Five Senses. The author's name is Gretchen. I'm going to blank on her last name, but it just talks about, again, awakening yourself to remember like, oh my gosh, what does an actual book feel like in my hand? What does a soft blanket do for my senses? And so if your whole house is like beige, which she defined beige as yellow with all the joy sucked out, which I'm yes. like, oh, I never paint anything beige after hearing that. That's so depressing.
And you look at the background of my office right now, but this is my downstairs office. My upstairs office is like murals and pink, and I gotta work on this, but
yeah, but it's, you have a new house, right? So
yeah, exactly.
It takes time. And so, yeah, but I think there's this idea here of like, we're just dulling ourselves to extreme boredom, but then we're not actually letting ourselves be bored because we're on our phones all the time. And so mm-hmm. like, we're not even letting ourselves go inward ever to be creative about what do I like? What do I think? What are my own thoughts? I think that's a huge issue here with why so many people are really struggling to find joy. I've spoke about joy at a couple different conferences, and the amount of women in particular who have reached out to me afterwards and just said like, this is something I've really been struggling with. There's another book called Languishing, where a lot of people are really feeling this like meh feeling constantly. Mm-hmm. I think so much of that is just that we have like optimized our days where you can pick up your groceries. You don't have to see anybody or talk to anybody. You can order your coffee ahead of time. You can check into your gym without speaking to anybody. Like we've literally sucked all the connection, all the like mini pops of joy mm-hmm. that you just would have if you were still doing your daily routine. But because we've optimized our lives to the fullest. Yeah, we've taken away all these like random chances of joy. And so people are really feeling that today.
Well, and I think, you know, there's a good and a bad. There's a give and a take with that. Like, I feel like it's what you do at that time when it's left over that makes sense. I mean, so we just bought in August, we bought a very much like fixer-upper, complete gut, like re-sheetrock the walls because there's just paneling, like complete fixer-upper cabin in Alexandria, Minnesota. And so we were working on that all weekend. And, you know, my kids have daycare Monday through Friday, but I look at, or, you know, and Vi's in school, she's in first grade, and then Davy's at daycare. And, you know, I sometimes get a little bit of, you know, people like, oh, you send your kids to daycare? Because everything that I do is, as an entrepreneur, I mean, I run like six different businesses, right? Like there's just different things going on. And yesterday Brent got home and I was feeling kind of bad. And I'm like, he's like, what'd you do all day? And he wasn't like, you know, he's just like, what'd you do all day? And I had Tina there working on stuff. And I'm like, I literally got totes out and like completely switched out all the kids' clothes. But it took me a total of maybe 9 hours, literally 9 hours. It took me. And I, cause I did like, I mean, it was two sizes too big, too small. Like there were eight totes upstairs. Like it just, and this hasn't been done in like 2 years. Like it was time, like none of Vi's clothes fit. And I just sorted through everything. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe I sent Davy to daycare while I did that. But then I picked her up at 5 o'clock last night and then literally uninterrupted time for like 5 hours, you know, whatever. And so it's when you suck that time out, like, well, what are you doing with it instead? Like when you trade that. And that was the whole point of my first book in the book club, I Know How She Does It, where it's like, what do you do with that time and that trade and whatever, but identifying what brings you joy and what re-energizes you and what, you know, how do you, whatever. But as I was going through all of their clothes, I had to laugh because, I mean, literally, I don't think we own anything neutral. We don't own anything. Like, I think Vi has like two pairs of black pants. And I was like, okay, it's time. Like, and she goes to Catholic school.
I love that.
Dress up on Fridays. And I'm like, ooh, we need to maybe a little less unicorns. Like, do we need unicorns on everything? But I don't know. And that's
yeah.
where,
no,
yeah.
I hear you. I feel like, yeah, you're spot on. Like, I personally, I freaking love Instacart. I love picking up my groceries. Like, I'm not looking to go back to having to do all those things and not optimize my day. But I think, like,
it's a fine
good
line.
Inventory.
Like, what are you doing with that time? Is it sucking your joy?
Yeah.
If you're trading
and, like,
it for,
you
if you're trading it for sitting on the couch doing nothing, like, okay, then I can see where that problem comes from.
Absolutely. Yeah. I fully agree. I think I had to take an audit for my day after COVID. I think that's where a lot of these things kind of turned, where people are like, oh, I can literally do my job online. I never have to leave my home. And again, we love that. I love the freedom of being able to work from home, but what are you losing because of what you're gaining? And so just being mindful again, sometimes it just takes someone to remind yourself of like, oh, I should reflect. Like, how do I feel? Do I feel burnt out? Do I feel like I need some inspiration? And that's to me why this book has just like continued to show up in my life, because it's really fun to see how you can build these environments to kind of stop you in your tracks and make you remember like who you are.
Well, and one thing that really resonated with me was how much she talked about nature and the environment. And obviously, you know, I run a flower farm. I work as a wedding florist. I coach other flower farmers. I have a podcast about flower farming. Like, flowers have become this like major thing in my life, kind of unintentionally. And it just keeps building and building. But she talks about nature and how like circles and curves and textures and all of those parts that are natural elements in nature continue to bring us joy without even like, that's why, because it's natural to, you know, whether it's that light or that calming sense, or, you know, she even talked about a curved chair versus a square chair can seem more inviting, or a curved rug, or, you know, whatever that might be. And it's like, huh, I never really thought about like the shapes of things being playful, but she has a whole chapter in there talking about a ball, right? Like, we don't know what to do with it, but everybody knows what to do with it. You just throw it, you play with it. You know, whether it's kids or adults or, you know, sports or a dog, like you just know that like a circular thing is playful. I don't know. It things like that were so, like when you said, oh my gosh, you can study joy. You know, I have my doctorate degree in nursing and I'm like, this is interesting. Maybe I'll go back to, no, I'm not going back to school. Too many. My husband will
I
kill
totally
me.
Would. Ingrid, Ingrid, if you need an advocate on your team, like, look me up, girlfriend. I am a huge fan. But yeah, for anyone who hasn't read the book, I think so much of her work and her study, first of all, you could listen to her TED Talk, which is a nice summary of the book. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the research goes back to the things that we as humans are innately drawn to. So circular objects, vibrant colors, those were things that used to have a lot of nourishment when we used to be hunters and gatherers and looking for things to eat and consume and needing to find sources of energy. And so now, fast forward to where we're at today, obviously we don't necessarily need to be looking for our food out in our you know, backyards, but we're drawn to those type of things. So finding ways to add like organic shapes within your home. Flowers are a huge one, because actually flowers have almost all of her characteristics of joy within them. So there's so much in the book that just is like, oh, that makes logical sense as to why we as humans are drawn to these things, because it's just something that had kept us alive for so many years. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like, I'm giving a lot away, but I think if you just want the cliff notes,
yeah,
that's something to think about.
Well, and ever since I started even, you know, the consultations I do with brides, now that we're doing so many weddings, I think I've got 20 weddings booked for next year. And I asked the brides, well, what are the three words you want? Because so I actually created this download. It's 26 pages long. I just finished it, but it's like wedding flowers 101. Because people are like, I don't know. Like they don't even know what they want. So it's like, let's walk you through budget 101. Let's talk you through colors 101. Let's walk you through like the cost of things. But I have a whole like couple first pages of what mood do you want to set? Do you want it to feel elegant? Do you want it to feel calm and happy? And ever since I put the word joyful on there, they're like, yeah, I want that. Like I want, and pretty much everyone's choosing color, and I'm totally fine with the white, elegant, you know, timeless. But as I pointed out to most of the brides, they're like, well, I just want it neutral. I want it, you know, I'm like, but what are your guests going to be wearing? Like, what are your, you know, and I, you know, I understand, but I don't think you're going to establish the neutral look that you're looking. And it's totally fine if that's the vibe that you're going for. But ever since I added the word joyful, I bet 8 out of 10, I bet 80% of the time, that's one of their three words is joyful. And even if they do want whites or blush or more of like a romantic elegance, they still want a lot of textures. They still want a variety of flowers. I'm like, okay, well, we can do 10 to 15 different types of greenery and white flowers and incorporate the textures while still having that, like, you know, that simplistic color. And it's still, it's just the word that people are drawn to, because who doesn't want that on their wedding day? Who doesn't want that? You know, and I think even, you know, it's important to realize that one of the biggest takeaways for me was seeking joy and intentionally finding joy and realizing that joy doesn't come from the big wins in life. I'm a type three, so I'm all about my my achievements. And it's like, you know, the happiness comes from those little bites of joy, not from the huge pieces of success. And especially seeing what I see with everything, you know, building a business or whatever, even in a career, it's not one big breakthrough. I'm sure for some people it's like that, but it's nope, those tiny little bit of things. So it's finding joy within it.
One of the chapters is on celebrations, and I love, speaking of your wedding business and flowers. And by the way, I could have really used that form for my wedding. I think I was just like, yeah, these are my colors, whatever. And then I got my flowers and I'm like, I'm sorry, red carnations? I really hate carnations.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I guess I didn't even know that about myself until I got them. I mean, my flowers were beautiful, but that one flower in particular, I was like, oh, I wouldn't have picked that. But I guess I didn't really specify or tell people my opinion. So that's on me. But in her books, when one of the chapters on celebration, she talks about like City Hall in New York is one of the most joyful places to be, because it's just wedding after wedding after wedding. And I'm like, I feel like I'm adding that to my bucket list. That sounds so wonderful to just watch an entire day of people getting married and being so joyful and happy and love.
Oh, I totally go with you. Let's go.
Let's do it.
That's what's so funny. Like those things that are on my bucket list now in life, like, yeah, add that. Okay, I'm going to go to City Hall in New York City and just watch people get married. Like just take in that environment or that happiness, or I don't know. That's awesome. No, I think that's definitely yay. Just happy days, happy places. And I think ideally everyone who's listening to this should read the book, needs to, you know, but I'm finding out that there's a lot of people who just don't read, but they, surprisingly, I've probably had 20 people like, yeah, I listen to the podcast, but I haven't officially joined the book club because I'm not going to actually read the books, and I'll just wait for you to, which, whatever, that's fine. But maybe it'll just spark a little, you know, and I understand that not everyone listens or not everyone wants to read and has time to read, or, you know, not everyone resonates with Audible. Like I can listen to an Audible book and, you know,
retain it.
Multitask. Like, I don't just sit down and read, but I wish I could, but whatever. So what would you say ongoing? I mean, it's been 8 years since you've started learning about studying joy and this book. How often do you audit your space or your time or when you're shopping or when you're, you know, how much of an impact has this had on your life? Because I feel like right now I'm 6 months into hearing this book and I'm like, I can't go shopping anymore. Like I can't, everything I look at, like I almost bought some like turquoise bed frames for the lake house. Cause I was like, well, Brent's
it's
like,
a need.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, I don't think we need to do that. Like, this is an investment. I'm like, well,
yeah.
So how big of an impact? Cause I feel like it's had a huge impact on my life already.
I feel like it's had such a big impact, not only because of where I first was introduced to Ingrid, like that was a really just, that was my first speaking opportunity. And so like, that was a very emotional and just a wonderful experience. Honestly, I was speaking about Miracle Mugs, which was a fundraiser I did for Children's Miracle Network at that conference. And so I think like when I was introduced to Ingrid, it was just kind of a magical day as a whole. And so I feel like, really, her work has had such a big impact on my life. I come back to it all the time. I feel like probably once a week I'm thinking about different things that are, how can I incorporate more joy into my life and into my day? And it's just, you know, it's not toxic positivity. I say this a lot, of like, we're not saying everything's good all the time. It's not. We literally know every single person goes through a lot of shit in their life. And that's not the point of this book, is just to blow past like all the hard things. It's really just to say, like, remind yourself what it is that you like, what it is that you're drawn to, and then fill your space, fill your home, fill your head with those type of things. I can't tell you how many times I get on Netflix and I'm like, why is the entire world watching such dark shows? I personally, I hate any sort of horror. I hate any sort of like mystery. Like, people are like, well, you're very boring in terms of what you watch on TV. But I'm really protective. I'm really protective of like what I'm putting in my head and what I'm thinking about. And like, there's some quote, like, the culmination of your life is what you are aware of. And so I just think a lot of this comes back to like knowing who you are, being able to communicate that to people, and then just boldly living out the way that you want to live, which is really hard in a world of Pinterest and a world of Instagram. And I'm still working on that every day. But yeah, this work has definitely made a lasting impact on me for sure.
Well, and I think that everything that she's saying, you know, you listen to it and there's nothing monumentally new about any of it, right? It when you listen to it, it's like, well, yeah, that's common sense. I agree. Like, it makes sense, but when that collective putting it all together. So we're coming up on 4 years since my husband passed away. And I'm working on the chapter of my book about like that first month after he died, like that January. And my therapist had me, you know, you hear about it, write down three good things, you know, three good things that happened to you. And it's not the point of like the exercise and gratitude. It's actually, for me, it wasn't an exercise on gratitude. It was an exercise on hope. Because I knew at the end of the day, before I went to bed, I had to write down three good things. So I spent the whole day like, okay, try to find three good things, because I can't go to bed until I write them down. So it wasn't an exercise of gratitude and gratefulness and that my life is so happy. It's like, damn it. And for me, it was really hard for me to find three good things, right? Like, because I mean, when I say depressed, like, it was pretty deep. And so I cheated. I bought a coffee every single day I would drop Vi off at daycare and then I'd go to the local blend and I'd buy a coffee. So that was one thing. And then after I picked up Vidalia from daycare, after I spent the day probably crying or opening a letter or paying a bill or something, we went through the drive-thru or we went through the car wash in January in Minnesota when it was like 20 below, right? And like a really stupid time to go through a car wash, like everything would freeze and whatever. But she was happy and it was colors and it was our routine. So literally I only had to find one thing. So my joy was my cup of coffee, one was the car wash. And then I only had to find one good thing, but that led me down a rabbit hole of like finding other widows on Instagram. And there's one, her name is Dana Frost. And she started a business called the Forced Joy Project. And sometimes you have to force the joy. And it's not forced happiness. It's not forced whatever, but it's joy, because she's like, I'm not saying you can find happiness, but you can find joy every day, whether it's, you know, these little, and that's the whole premise behind it, is joy comes from little things.
I love that for you. And it, I mean, I can't imagine how horrible and hard that time was, but how strong you were. And not only that, but what like incredible coping skills for you to be able to be like, okay, I know that I need to write down three things. So like, that's so smart that you were like, these are the
thanks
things
to
that
Pam,
truly.
my therapist.
Pam, shout out to
Yes,
Pam, because
yes,
that's so
yes.
wonderful. And I love like that. That's a perfect example of, you were in the worst state, a horrible state, and you were still able to curate your day in a way that you knew that those two points, you were gonna at least have a moment of joy, a moment where you were like, yes, this first sip of coffee, nothing better. This is gonna make my daughter happy seeing all these colors. Like, I think that is such a testament to like the whole point of this book.
Well, and I started, you know, there's a quote, it's Sex and the City. I think it's the movie where Charlotte's like, I'm happy every day, or something. Or she's like, how often are you happy, or something? Carrie asks Charlotte, and she's like, every day. And she's like, oh, whatever, shut up. And she's like, no, I didn't say I'm happy all day, every day. She's like, but I'm happy every day. Like, and I remember thinking about that, because my best friend is also widowed. It's this whole thing. And so we would talk about that. And I'm like, at least, you know, I had Vidalia, I was pregnant. So I'm like, I can't say that I'm unhappy, because I have 1% of happiness. Like, I have,
yeah.
You know, or there's a little, like, there is happy, you know. And it's just like, it starts, you know, you like reevaluate that. And like I said, it's more so hope than anything. But it just, I don't know, this book now, had someone tried to give me this book at that point in my life, I probably would have thrown it at their head. Because I mean, you gotta be right, because like you said, it's not this like, joyful, and anyone going through a really hard time is probably like, I don't give me that crap.
Yeah.
Like, the world
F off.
Sucks.
No.
Yeah, exactly. And like, today's election day, I have not looked at the results. I've not looked at the polls. I've done such a good job of like my algorithm on social media, like hardly any election stuff. Like, it's just out of there. Like, I don't.
Again,
I,
that perfect.
Yeah.
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 Like,
I just, I'm like, I know who I'm voting for. I'm not. I don't want to lose friends. I don't want to have bad opinions of someone. So like, I'm just not looking. I'm just not reading it, you know. But
yeah, but that's perfect. Like, do your own research, choose what you like, and then it's, you don't need to, you know, belabor it by going down every single rabbit hole on the internet.
Exactly,
Unfortunately,
exactly. Sometimes it's fun,
how
but
we
no.
Yeah.
Sometimes it brings me a little joy, if I'm being honest.
That's true.
That's terrible.
There's a few,
yes,
a few rants that,
yes. Oh, well, thank you so much for finding me, Jay, or for coming on, for finding me. Why did I say that? Blah, blah, blah. Where can we find you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am most active on my Instagram, which is Jade E. Delaney. I talk a lot about joy on there. I also share a lot about my kids, who I'm obsessed with. And I'm a big allergy advocate. My son has a bunch of life-threatening food allergies. And so if there's any allergy moms out there, I would love to connect with you as well. But there, otherwise, I also do speaking. And so jadedelaney.org. I'm working on that .com, but, you know, third baby came first. So
yeah, well, that's okay.
Eventually we'll get that website, but .org. So if you want to talk more about joy, I would love to. This is a topic that I could spend all day talking about, clearly. So this time flew by.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Remember to subscribe to the, or click on the links to actually join the book club, so that you get notifications when this episode comes out. You find out what the new book is next month. And yeah, thank you so much.